in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, this is what we're looking at this morning, and it's we're looking for the net results. That's the title of the message. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "And so it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," that's the Sea of Galilee, "and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets." Notice the plural, nets. "Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats, so they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, and he was saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken in. And so he was with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' And when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him." Father, we pray right now that in this Bible study that we have before us, Lord, that you would lead us, you'd open up our hearts, God. We want to receive this biblical truth with great joy and gladness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're speaking about this morning, becoming fishers of men. There's no better way to illustrate things than something like this, perhaps, this morning. So what we're looking for is to become fishers of men. Now, what had happened is, and we're looking at this text, Jesus had already had a relationship. He's already known Peter, James, John, Andrew. They've been around, because even in a chapter earlier, he heals Peter's mother-in-law. But there's something very important that we need to understand today when we're looking at these scriptures. So when we're looking here and we see Jesus, he has a message for the people. There's a great multitude. I've been to Israel. I've been to the Sea of Galilee. And he is there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And there's a great multitude coming. And the multitude wants to hear the word of God. We're a ministry that takes that to heart. We believe that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, our Sunday messages, Wednesday messages, they're all from the word of God, as well as several of the other Bible studies that we have for us. We need God's word. Let me ask a quick question. In life right now, what is eternal? In life, what is eternal? What here in this worldly plane will last for all eternity?
God's word.
God's word. So the word of God is eternal. It lasts for all eternity. Therefore, we want to give great honor to that. When we're looking at this text today and we're seeing, here they are, practically speaking, around the lake, he's speaking. Jesus has a message for the multitudes, and Jesus has a message for an individual. So right now, there's a message for all of us from the Lord, and there's a message individually. In other words, what's being communicated right now, the Spirit of God will take what is being communicated for all of us, but he will also take it in a very personal way to each of us individually. So he needs help. The Lord is being crushed by the multitudes. He's going to go into the water. So he's looking, and in a most practical way, the Lord looks at some boats that are available. And so the ones that Simon and Andrew and James and John were in, they're cleaning their nets, they're washing their nets. What happens, and we're not maybe familiar with this, but as fishermen, they fish at night. That's when they catch fish, at night, not during the day. These are professional fishermen. They spent all night out at sea, the Sea of Galilee. They caught nothing. They're taking their nets out. They must wash and clean their nets and then get them rolled up and ready and put back into the boat. That's what they're doing. So they're really not paying attention to the message that Jesus has for them. Jesus has a message for the multitudes. He has a message for an individual. Jesus is never too busy for any one of us at any time. So he asked Peter if he can get in the boat, and they launch out. They just go a little ways from the shore. He's in the boat, It gives us a chance. It gives Jesus a chance to give the message he wanted to give to the multitudes, just pulling away from the shore and being able to speak the word of God. I wish we had that message. I would love to know what that message was all about. I would love to know. It's not in the scriptures. We don't know what he said. I would love to see that. I want to know what Jesus said. The interesting thing is, as the message was concluded, he says something very interesting to Simon Peter. He doesn't say, take me back to shore. He says, launch out into the deep. And again, if we reflect back quickly on the verse, it says in verse 4, to launch out into the deep and let down your nets. This is a New King James Version. Also in the King James Version, the word nets is plural. In my study, listening to the teaching of some brothers that are with the Lord right now, like Dr. Ironside, they pick up this point that probably we wouldn't normally see. So Jesus is saying, as a carpenter to a professional fisherman, I know where the fish are at. Now to Peter, it's rather ludicrous for us to drop the nets. Fish are not available during the day. It's at night. And so when he says to the Lord, and this is an important verse to see, verse 5, he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I want to bring a point right now. What I believe I see right here by Peter, I see partial obedience. That's what I see. And I'm wondering, does the Lord see in my life partial obedience? And unfortunately, I'll have to say yes. Yes, in my life, the Lord has seen partial obedience. In other words, just in a sense, cooperating maybe with God, cooperating with what he wanted to do. But because I'm a prideful person, many times I might think I know better than God. Maybe this is my area, it's my expertise, and Lord, I depend upon you in this area, but this is my area of expertise, and I kind of know what I'm doing, and just kind of give your blessing. And many times as Christians, we're only accommodating God. And I believe, unfortunately, that's a big mistake. You see, partial obedience really is full disobedience, if you think about it. Partial obedience would only give you a partial blessing. So when he's saying to Peter, launch out into the deep, there's a deeper work that God wants to accomplish in Peter's life. He knows that he's got a plan for Peter. And he knows that Peter is so full of pride and other things that he must get at the heart of the problem. So he says, launch out into the deep. And again, in a cooperative way to Jesus, he lowers a net and just thought, okay, I might as well just do this. I believe that the Lord is wanting us to lower some nets as well. I believe that the Lord wants us to live by faith. I believe that the Lord challenges us in ways that we might think, you know what? It just doesn't seem necessarily like the right thing, but we're going to do it anyways. We're going to do it to please and honor the Lord. Launch out into the deep, he said. And what happens right now is when this is happening, there's such a great number of fish. Remember, they only had one net out. There's such a great amount of fish that that net is beginning to break. So they call their other partners on shore to bring their boat out so that they would not lose out on the catch of fish. So both boats are there. Listen, both boats are there. Both boats are filled with fish. And here's the point. When they're absolutely filled with fish, they start to sink. Here's the thing. You and I, we can pursue things of this world. We think, we believe that if only we had such and such, if only there was, you know, you can change the situation for whatever you want, but you've created a scenario in your mind that if only you had this amount of stuff or money or job or whatever it is, if you had all of that, you feel everything would be cool. You'd be great. I'm going to say we would sink if we did not have our hearts right with the Lord. We would capsize with that, and the Lord knows that. In other words, when Jesus is giving a message on the shore, I doubt if Peter was in very much attention. Why? Because Peter was thinking about all night at sea catching nothing. And when he was all night at sea catching nothing, he's thinking about what went wrong. What do we need to do different? I can't go on this way. I need to provide. I need fish. I'm a fisherman. And so even while Jesus is speaking, I'm sure he's thinking about other things. His mind and his heart isn't really in there. When Jesus says, cast your nets out, he already has a game plan in his mind for what the next night's going to be, the strategy that he has. Fishermen know where the fish are. He's going to go for the fish. So in his mind, he's not really full-hearted into what the Lord says. And then in doing that, all of a sudden, more fish than he could imagine. He probably is calculating in his mind, my bills are going to be paid. As a matter of fact, this amount of fish we bring in on the shore, the multitudes are there. It's going to be like Pike's Place Market. We'll just start throwing fish around. Who wants fish? It's more than they can handle. This is just like the greatest day in a fisherman's life. But then they start to sink because of all this fish. And in the midst of all of this, in other words, you may achieve what you thought you never could achieve, but why are you sinking? Why are you discouraged? Why are you in despair? I believe it's because Jesus wants to get at the conscience of our heart. And Jesus wanted to penetrate Peter's heart and his mind and his emotions. And he wants that relationship with him and him alone. As they're beginning to capsize, what he says as it's breaking, it tells us in verse 8, we read it. It says, Simon Peter saw it and he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. In other words, he realized right there in the presence of God, the holiness of God, he realized God through all of this, Jesus is God through all of this. He realized in an instant his pursuits were for himself and his pursuits weren't for God, although he was a man seemingly in the synagogue and had a place, but his heart wasn't devoted to God. And all of a sudden, his conscience was affected, and he realized that. And he's saying, I know who I am now. I'm not who I've proclaimed to be, and I know who you are. And in light of who you are and who I am a sinful man. He's calling out to the Lord. Have you ever been to that place? Have you ever been to the place where you just call out to the Lord, you realize you cannot make it without the Lord? And that's where the Lord will bring us. We cannot make it through this life without the Lord. We cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ. There's no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He's the only way, absolutely the only way, the sovereign way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's praying out to God. Why is prayer important? Because when I pray, it's the lesser praying to the greater. Peter had to surrender his greatest giftedness to the Lordship of Christ. Have you surrendered? You've got giftedness. Every one of us has a unique giftedness. But have you surrendered that to the Lord completely? Have you asked the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to throw my nets? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Do you want to do only what he wants you to do? Do you seek his wisdom? Do you seek the Lord for fresh direction? No longer just a routine. Are you willing to walk by faith? You see, through this episode right here, it would be later on that Peter would be out on the water in a storm. And Jesus says, come to me. And he had the experience on the water with the fish. Come to me. And Peter walked in faith across on the water. Hey, pastor, you're a man of faith. Are you going to do that right now? I would say I'm a man of little faith right now, okay? But he's calling Peter. He's calling Peter to himself. He's calling us to himself. There was also a time after the resurrection of Christ, Peter was out fishing again. And he realized when Jesus says, cast your nets on the other side, he knew John helped him out, but he knew there is Jesus. And he went to be with him. How do we finish this up here? Notice he says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. But he knows that he's not looking to depart from God, nor is he wanting God to depart from him. He recognizes that apart from his humility and his need for God, there would be no relationship. But notice what Jesus does. He does not end it there. We see that everybody is astonished, not only at the teaching of Jesus, but they're astonished at the catch of fish that was taken. We see that there's partners in this business of fishing. We see James in verse 10 and John, Zebedee, the partners there. But Jesus has a great concluding word, and he says, not to be afraid. Are you afraid this morning? Are you afraid? The Lord doesn't want you to be afraid. Life is very intimidating, and circumstances are extremely overwhelming. I understand that. And I know what it is to experience a sense of fear and overwhelmingness. But I think the word from God today for us is He's saying, don't be afraid. I'm in charge. I am the Lord. I'm going to see you through. But He tells them, from now on, you will catch men. God has a calling upon their lives, and God has a calling upon each of our lives as well. God wants us to follow Him. God wants us to be a part of an eternal work, to let people know of the greatness of our God, to share with them the grace, the love, and the forgiveness that we have. If I can look and see, and as they're bringing it all together, they're going to make a decision in verse 11. In verse 11, they're making a decision. They decided that they're going to forsake all and follow Him. Obviously, God had a calling on their life. They would literally forsake the fishing business, and they would become the disciples and apostles of Christ. But I believe that there's an application for us this morning. I believe that as we leave this place today, as you go home, as you think about the things of this morning, I would ask, and I'm going to ask the Spirit as well in my own life, are there things that I need to forsake in my life? Is there anything in my life that is hindering my walk with Jesus, my fellowship with the Lord? It could be even a good thing, but it could be bad because it's hindering my walk with the Lord. It's hindering the calling that He's put upon our lives. Two final points in summary. Seek Jesus in all things. Seek Him in all things. Now, again, in the area that you're an expert in, you're good at, many times you don't seek Him in that area. Seek the Lord in all things, in the area that you're good at, you're an expert at, in the areas that are rather routine, seek Him in all things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And secondly, obey Him in all things. No longer do we negotiate our relationship with God, what we're going to do or what we're not going to do. Parents, do you not get just burdened down when it's just simply, can you take the trash out? Why do I have to take it out? Why am I always the one to take it out? Why don't they take it out? They never took it out when I was their age, and now why do I have? And this, just take the trash out. Just empty the trash. And as a parent, you can create your own illustration. But do you think our Heavenly Father sometimes is like, just do what I say. You'll be good. You'll be glad. You'll be blessed. And it's not that burdensome. There's not lions and tigers and bears outside. Just do it. So we want to stop negotiating. And we don't want to be involved in selective service. In other words, my service to the Lord isn't selective based on, I want to do that. I don't want to do that. If He says, throw your nets over. Avoid the great temptation. What good could I do? You leave here and you say, you know what? Does my life really matter? It does. Everyone's life here really matters. Your life of faith will reveal to the world His supernatural power. Your life of faith will do that. So the worship team's going to come up for one final worship song. As they're coming up right now, let's stand so we can all stand for this final song. We can all stand for this final song. We see in the gospel today that Jesus is speaking and He wants to get at the heart of Peter. And He has to allow Peter to experience something in life, something that he's good at, something he's familiar with. And he has to experience, in a sense, failure and success in the same day. And Jesus wants to prove to all of us that He's the only one. Our sufficiency is in Him. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we gather together and to see what the Lord is doing, the Lord has allowed us to have communion together and to worship Him. The Lord has allowed us to receive the giftedness of some of our musicians, Lord, with the outreach songs that they have and the ministry You've given to them. We've been able to celebrate with a family the baptism of their son and brother and nephew and grandson, Lord. What a great blessing. We get to celebrate the Word of God. The Word is true. It's everlasting. Father, we ask for Your forgiveness. There is something we have in common here. We all have sinned And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But we also have a Savior in common, Jesus Christ. There's no other than him. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask for your forgiveness for our sins. And we accept Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for heaven and the hope of eternity that's in each of our hearts. We want to sing this last song with love and appreciation for you. In Jesus' name, amen.